Okay, morning, everybody. So we are taking a break from Exodus to start the new year, and we're going to be starting a series called The Rhythms of Discipleship. Why does it say rhythms of grace? I don't know. It's rhythms of discipleship. So trust me, take my word for it. And talking about basically the natural rhythms of life that should mark our life as believers, as disciples of Jesus, basically. So these things, these habits in our life that should mark us as disciples of Jesus. So today we're going to kind of kick that off, not talking specifically about what type of habits, but more generic than that, the priorities in life and why these things matter. What basically on, as we look, start looking at these habits of grace, basically, habits of discipleship, why they should be a priority to us, why they matter. So that's what we're talking about today, is what really matters. What really matters. So if I asked you today to come up with a really short list of like three things of what really matters to you, what would be on the list? Three things, what really matters to you, what would be on the list? Think about it for a minute. And most of you guys, I mean, we're all good Christians here. We're all here on Sunday morning. Most of us would have God at the top, boom, because that's what we're supposed to do because we're Christians. So God should be at the top. But my question in today and what we're talking about is that really what is in your heart? Is God really at the top of your list? And is that really what your life and your actions reflect and how you live your day-to-day life? Is that really what's at the top of your list? And what does a life centered on following God, what is a life that where God really matters, a life of discipleship to him really look like? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And first, I'll see if I can get through this story, okay? About, many of you guys know this, about 3 years ago, I got sick, and then I had a lump growing out of one side of my neck. Pretty big, actually. I mean, it was like golf ball size. It was pretty good size lump in one side of my neck. And I wasn't going away. It was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I went into the doc, talked to the doc for a little bit about it. And basically, they came up and said, well, that's unusual, because usually if you're sick, like your lymph nodes grow out on both sides, not just one side. So something's up with that. We need to figure out what's going on. So they sent me in for a CAT scan. And I got in there, did the CAT scan. That's a crazy experience, but did that whole thing. Then they shipped me home, and a doctor gave me a call a little bit after that. And I was at work at the time. The doc called and said, hey, we looked at the CAT scan and got the results from that, and it's not good. Still have to do more tests and things like that, but 90% chance you've got lymphoma. And that's a kind of a sombering experience, honestly. I remember just, how do you respond to that? Just hanging up the phone and being like, okay, what do I do now? Where am I at? What's going on? And all of a sudden in your life, when if you ever have been in that experience or get the chance to, it's a really sombering experience, because really, really quick, in an instant, you realize what really matters to you and what really is important. And it's a crazy experience, and I mean, it was a crazy experience to go through and to experience and to see, to think about, okay, what really matters to me? What's really important? And by God's grace, to see the work that God had done in my life to bring me to a point where I'm okay with this, and I can handle this, and I see what God's doing in this. And it was amazing to realize, I mean, all the other things that I worry and spend a lot of time about, finances and sports and fishing and all these things that, man, friendships and all these things that are important to me and everything, kind of fell by the wayside a little bit more as I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, all that really matters is God, and I just want to be with my family and spend time with God. And that's all I could think about and dwell on and reflect on. And it was good. I mean, it was an awesome experience for me to go through and see. Long and short of it is, I'll chalk it up to nothing less than a miracle, but all of a sudden that lump in my throat just started getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and by the time I went in for the biopsy, there was like nothing there. They couldn't really find it even, but they did the biopsy anyway, and it came back negative, and God is good. But Amen. But I wouldn't trade that experience for the world, for what God did for me. Sorry. Because now I'm looking at it, and I think this went on a prayer chain, but my best friend lives in Fairbanks, Nate, and he just got the diagnosis that he's got colon cancer, and from all instances, it looks pretty bad. And it is cancer. I mean, they did the biopsy and everything, and so he's going through that right now and where he's at. And he's trying to figure out how to deal with that. And he's experiencing the same things that I went through. And he told me when I was talking to him on the phone, he said, "You know what, Matt? In the end, if it gets bad and the diagnosis is not looking good at all, I'm just selling everything that I have. And we're just, as a family, we're going to take off. And we're going to travel and do mission work and just tell people about Jesus and spend time in prayer and in my Bible and things like that." And that's what I'm going to do until God takes me. Because he recognized what really mattered. And I'm praying for all of us, for me included, because I mean, God brought me through that experience, but so often I forget what really matters. And I'm praying for all of us that God can bring us to a point in faith that we can understand what really matters and live like it without having to face those experiences like I did. Okay, that was a bad idea to start with. Now I got to pull myself together to finish. Okay, all right, we're done. Faith. Faith, that's what we're talking about today. My big idea is that faith is recognizing that following God and discipleship is all that really matters in this life. It's all that really matters, following God and discipleship. And that should be reflected in our daily life as a Christian. And I forgot to put a slide for that. Oopsie. But following God and discipleship is what really matters in life. So we're going to read. This is Hebrews. We're going to be jumping in Hebrews here. And we're going to kind of work our way through the whole chapter more or less. But I'm just going to read the first few verses of it for now. And then we'll kind of work our way through it in a bit. This is Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation." Father, we just thank you, Father, for this time that we have to dig into your word. And Lord, I just pray that it wouldn't be just something that we hear and then we move on in life, Lord, but that this would just percolate and sit inside of our hearts, Lord, and that you would just speak to us by your spirit and move by your spirit, Lord, that this message that you put in my heart, Lord God, would mean something to each of us, Lord, and that you would lead us and guide us from it, Lord, to walk from this place with different priorities, Lord, with a renewed focus on you, Lord, with all of our life, that we would truly come to understand that you are all that matters, Father God. I pray that you would build us all up in faith today, Father God. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so my first part in here is our life will show what really matters to us, or our life shows right now what really matters to us, whether you like it or not. So if you want to know, this, as I was thinking about this, if you want to know what really matters to you, we can move forward on the slides, guys. I should have taken the clicker. Oh, well, that's all good. These guys are awesome. So our life will show what matters to us, or it does show right now. So if you want to know what really matters to you, a good exercise to do is go ask somebody who knows you well. Hey, what do you think is really important to me? Go ask somebody. I mean, ask your pastor, your life group leader, your spouse. A great one, I think, is ask your kids. Because your kids don't know how to say, like, a good answer. They don't know how. They'll just shoot you straight, man. They don't tell you what you want to hear. They don't tell you a good answer. Well, I think you really are a good man of God. And, yeah. I mean, we'll get that kind of answer from other adults. But the kids are like, there you go. And it's great. So I did that with my kids. And if you want to know, you got to ask me. What they said. I wasn't really serious. I don't really want to. Oh, this is a different one. Maybe I could actually figure this one out. Just arrows. That should be easier, you would think. So I encourage you guys, if you got kids, ask them. If not, ask somebody else. What matters to me in my life? What really matters to me? And see what they say. See what they say. Because they see what's really there. They see what's really there. Our actions, our habits, what we talk about, what we do, they see that in us. You see, there's one point that's very true. We will always make time for what's important to us. Always. Always make time for what's important to us. If you don't have time to read your Bible or to pray or to go to church or to go to life group, the issue isn't that you're too busy. The issue is that your priorities aren't right. And that challenges me. I'm not just preaching out here, you guys need to change. I'm preaching in here too, because I need to too. If we're not making these things following God that are habits of grace, and we'll get into them, a priority, it's because we don't have the faith to truly believe that they matter. It's a faith issue. They're not important to you. It's not a time issue. And we will talk about what matters to us too. We will do what matters to us, and we will talk about what matters to us. If you're around people very long and get to know them, you'll know what matters to them. You'll very quickly. I mean, are they talking about their work all the time? Are they talking about fishing all the time, hunting all the time, snow machine trips all the time? What are they talking about? What am I talking about in the time that we have when we get together with people and are talking? That shows what matters to us. And my challenge, and I really need this one to grow in this one, is what do my conversations focus on? What do my conversations focus on? I mean, we've got to be wise with that with unbelievers, I know. But in this church, how often when we get together just to hang out, just to talk, are we talking about God? Is it centered on God? Not that it has to be 24/7 all the time, but man, if God's not a big part of our conversations as a church, something's up. We need to change. How often is God the focus of our conversations? I want to look at another verse here. We're going to jump into Matthew chapter 13. So if you can jump with me to Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the seeds, the sowing of the seeds. And you guys, a number of you guys might know this. We're just going to focus on one here just because of time too. But Matthew 13, verse 7, this is the parable that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a farmer scattering seeds and what happens to them and where they go. So verse 7 says, "And other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked out the seeds." And then if you look ahead to verse 22, this is Jesus giving the interpretation for that or what it means. "As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears, this is the person who hears the word, but the cares and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful." And I think, I mean, for me and probably for a lot of Christians, churchgoers in nowadays era, this describes us pretty well, describes me pretty well. I have the faith. I'm a believer. I know that, and I know the truth. But so often I get distracted and scattered and deceived by the things of this world where I just go this way and I go this way and God's right in front of me. But man, all my thoughts and my time and efforts get scattered out there to all these other things. And I forget about what really matters, about pursuing that. And then in and through that process, I can't produce the fruit that God calls me to, like he was talking about in here. I mean, we're these seeds, God's expecting fruit from our lives. And if we're going all these different directions, we're getting choked out by the cares and concerns of this life. We don't produce that fruit. You see, there's lots of distractions out there that will keep us from following God. I was thinking about this and praying about this, and Lord knows there's plenty of them I could think of for me. One of them for me is that I tend to be a people pleaser. I'm a people person, outgoing person. And one thing that I focus way too much on is just being popular, being liked, being a part of things. I mean, if there's a party, I want to be invited to it. Lord knows what will happen now. Because I want to avoid rejection and I want to avoid loneliness, because I focus too much on that. And oftentimes my emotions rise and fall based on what happens. Oh, I didn't get invited to hang out with this person, or nobody wanted to get together with us, or nobody showed up for life group or something like that. Or my emotions will go like this, And that's not right because I'm focusing on all these things that I shouldn't be. And the challenge then, too, is when I do have time with people, I'm not using that time fully to share the truth, to talk about God. I'm more focused on, oh, is this person going to like me? I want to make sure that they like me so that I'm popular. I'm not using that relationship as God called me to produce the fruit that he's called me to. And that can be a lot of different things in our lives. And if you think about it, think for a minute, what is it for in your life? And maybe it's finances, maybe it's work, maybe it's sports, maybe it's snow machines, fishing, career goals, even family to an extent too. What are those things that distract you from what God's called you to, that keeps you from producing the fruit that he's called you to? You see, if we're not willing to let go of our focus on any one of those things, then it's an issue, then it's an idol issue. It's something we need to deal with. And a lot of these things that we're talking about, they're not sin by nature. I mean, it's not sinful to go fishing, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And they should demand some of our attention, finances and things like that. But if they entangle us too much in our thoughts and in our life patterns, then they do become sin for us. Then we need to deal with them. And they keep us from bearing fruit for God that he's intended us to. So I encourage you today, even as you go out from here, stop and take a somber look at your life and realize, okay, what priorities does my life reflect? What really matters to me that I'm living out with my life? Again, ask people. Ask your kids. You see, there's a problem if God is not at the center at all times and in all things. Then there's a lack of faith issue. And all of us have that because none of us are perfect. But by God, by the grace of God, we should be striving towards that. So it's a lack of faith that we don't really believe that following God is what really matters. So what do we need to do with that? We need to take that to God and we need to repent. We just need to ask God, say, God, this is where I've messed up. This is where I've lost my focus on you. We ask God's forgiveness. We receive that and we ask him for greater faith, that he would give us the ability to change our lives and live the priorities that he's called us to do. So what does that look like? What does that look like? What is a life of faith? Following God in discipleship, what does that really look like? So I was thinking about this, and we're going to jump back to Hebrews 11, because it's called the Hall of Faith. And it's basically about these guys who actually live this life out. So we're going to take a look at, we don't have time to get all of them. We're going to look at some of them here. But first, we're going to start off in verse 1, where it talks about faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. So first the question is, what are we putting our hope in? What are we putting our hope in? Are we putting our hope that we'll catch a fish, that we'll be able to get out snow machining this weekend, that our sports team's going to win? What are we putting our hope in? Maybe it's friendships, maybe it's politics, maybe it's money, success, any of those things. And then he talks about the conviction of things not seen. Are we really believing in a God that we can't see? And are we spending our life pursuing the rewards that we can't see? Not money, not success, not popularity, but the rewards that we can't see, the spiritual rewards of following Christ. That Bible reading and that prayer really, really matter. That God's Spirit is always leading us and speaking to us. Those are great challenges. I always think prayer is a great challenge of faith. And I struggle with it, honestly. It's a real heart checker because prayer, my Bible reading, I can do that. I read a chapter, woo, check my box, I'm good to go. But prayer is like, man, it's just talking to God. And you've got to believe that God is real and that God is hearing us. And that prayer actually matters. That's a real faith checker. If our prayer life is not good, it shows that our faith is not there, that our faith needs to grow. And that challenges me all the time. Do we really believe that prayer and Bible reading matter? Conviction of things not seen. And then he says, for by it the people of old receive their commendation. Their reward, by faith, they received their reward. You see, they lived out the principles of faith, knowing what really mattered in life, that their hope was met in God, their hope was in God, and that he is real, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we're going to look at some of these guys real quick here. First, we'll jump into Enoch. Enoch, this is in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You see, Enoch's hallmark was he lived the life that pleased God. You see, he did not live for his own pleasures, as me and many of us do. He didn't focus his life on living for his own pleasures. Every day was just, God, what pleases you? What's going to make you happy? Because he had faith to see that that is what mattered. Making himself happy, seeking his own pleasures, didn't really matter. Seeking God's pleasures mattered. And then it said, we must believe God rewards those who seek him. That takes faith. We have to believe that following God matters and that God rewards us if we do. That's God's spirit and work in us as we seek him. Oops, I didn't even use this thing. Huh. Show you what happens. I don't even, does it even work? You guys are tricking me. I don't know. I'll let you guys click to the next one. Oh, because it's off. Oh, that makes a difference. Whoops, now I'm just cruising. Okay, there we go. Sorry. So, do we really believe that following God matters? Are we seeking those rewards that we can't see? That God's Spirit works in us as we seek him. That as we seek and pursue God and seek to please him, that God's Spirit is working in us. And that God is being glorified. Do we really believe that seeking God, that God will reward us as we seek him? You see, if we do, devotion time won't become an issue with us. Won't become a challenge it still might be a challenge, but we won't fight it nearly as much in this we need to do. If we really believe that God will reward us if we seek him in that time, if we really have that kind of faith, man, it should change the way we live. Our devotion time becomes this, I get to, man, I'm going to go seek God's rewards this morning, kids. Have fun. I'm going to wake up early for go sleep to seek God's rewards as I seek him. How are we going to do that? Then we jump into Noah here. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. You see, Noah gave up all worldly pursuits to do what God commanded him to do. Dude, living in the desert, they're in the middle of the land, and God told them to build a giant boat. And Noah said, okay. And it wasn't just like a week-long project with kids or something. I mean, this was his life. All of a sudden, his life was going this way and skewed off to the side. He gave up all worldly pleasure, all gain, all riches to do what God had called him to do. And I'm sure he was mocked for it. I'm sure he lost what friends he may have had. Probably didn't really hang out with him too much anymore. You're talking to the crazy boat builder. Because he had faith to believe that following God, no matter how crazy it looked, was all that mattered, despite the cost, no matter the cost. And then jumping ahead, we see Moses. Moses' life. You see, Moses was born as the prince of Egypt. He could have had anything you really wanted. Egypt, the most powerful nation at the time, could have had about anything you really wanted. But he had the faith to give up that life of worldly pleasure to go and do what God called him to do. And that's what he did. He chose to suffer, give up that life of riches, to suffer as a slave with his fellow Israelites. Because that's what following God meant. That's what God had called him to do. The Bible says he considered reproach for Christ of greater value than the riches of Egypt, for he was looking to his reward. That's crazy. Crazy faith. See, he had the faith to know that following God, even though he couldn't see or experience what was going to happen in this life, he had the faith to realize that following God was greater than any pleasure that this world could ever give. That the rewards of following God were greater than anything this world could ever give. And I'm going to jump out of Hebrews 11 for a minute and talk about Ezekiel. Because I'm in my own devotion time, I read through the book of Ezekiel recently. And Ezekiel is one of those books you get to like, dang it, I need to read this one. Okay. I wasn't looking forward to it, honestly. But man, reading through this challenged me in a lot of ways. Read Ezekiel. Check it out, man. This guy, he was a prophet during Israel's exile in Babylon. And he was in Babylon. And if you read about this, God asked him to do crazy things to be a witness to others. Crazy things to be a witness to others. He had to lay on his side for like 45 days or something like that. God called him to lay on his side for 45 days. And he's like, what am I going to eat? And God said, use human dung to bake your food. And Ezekiel's like, oh, I can't do that. Can I use cow dung instead? Sure. Okay. Woohoo. Problem solved. We're set. We're like, huh? What? God called him to do all these crazy things. God, even at one point in there, God took his wife. His wife died as an example so that God could use that whole process as an example to teach the Israelites. God took his beloved wife. Wow. But through it all, he had the faith to know that following God mattered infinitely more than anything in this world. He challenged me by how much he obeyed God. I'm sure he was not popular. He was not liked. But what amazed me about reading him is, you see, this world had no hold on him. Nothing in this world had any grip on Ezekiel because he had no interest in it. He had no interest in the things of this world, just following God. God, what do you want me to do today? And I love it because you see in there that God knew that Ezekiel was truly sold out. God knew that he could ask Ezekiel for anything because Ezekiel would do it. Because Ezekiel had the faith to believe that following God is all that mattered. So I'm challenged reading that. Does God know that about me? Does God know that about us? Does he see that kind of faith in us? That he could say, Zach, I can ask you for anything, man, because I know you'll do it. Does God see that kind of faith in us? What's the limit of what God could ask of you? Is there a limit? There shouldn't be. But man, I know when push comes to shove, there might be in my life. I don't know. What's the limit of what God could ask of you? I want to read real quick, Hebrews 11, 13 through 14. And these heroes of the faith, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Having seen them and greeted them from afar, they died in faith. You see, most of these people were considered, a lot of these guys were considered losers in life. Losers according to the world. They were unsuccessful, often unpopular. Noah, Ezekiel, a lot of these guys. They suffered because they were seeking a reward that they couldn't see, that the world could not understand. And most of them never succeeded in achieving worldly success. But that wasn't what mattered. That's not what they were after. They saw the reward from Christ from afar, and that's what they pursued because they had the faith to know that that's what mattered. They considered themselves strangers and exiles in the world, not seeking what this world had to offer. This world didn't have any hold on them, but they were living for the eternity to come with God, their true homeland. They were living for heaven, their true homeland. They know that they were just passing through this world, so why should I care too much about it other than doing what God's called me to do? Third point in there. Living by faith changes our priorities. Living by faith changes our priorities. So what does that life look like for us if we truly have faith to following God in discipleship? If we truly believe that's what matters, what does that life look like? Turn with me again. We're going to jump to the book of John, John 17. Verses 14 through 19, and this is Jesus' prayer right before basically he gets arrested and goes to the cross. This is his prayer to God, starting in verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. You see, God is sending us out into this world. God isn't calling us, well, don't be involved in this world, so go live in a cabin out in the woods in the middle of nowhere and be alone so you're not involved in this world. God's not calling us to that life. God's calling us, sending us out to be involved in this world, just like he did with these guys, with Ezekiel and with Moses and all these guys. He's sending them to be involved in this world and around this world. He's not calling us to separate ourselves into some holy huddle as a church, to isolate and protect ourselves so that the world can't hurt us. God's not calling us to live like that. We're called to do business in the world. We're called to interact in the world, to be involved in this world physically, but not spiritually. But in all of that, recognizing that we are not of this world. Just like Jesus says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Again, we are pilgrims and exiles, as we read about in Hebrews. We're just passing through this world, getting ready for our homeland. We're very different. By our very spiritual nature, we are different. We have different priorities and a different focus as Christians, as followers of God. One other one, good challenging verse. We're going to jump to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Matthew 16. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay each person according to what he has done." So take up our cross, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. You see, God knows that our flesh is contrary, is sinful. Our flesh is sinful. It's contrary to God. So our flesh is drawn to this world, to the things of this world. Through our flesh, this world is what matters. Worldly pursuits, worldly pleasures, the desires of this world. And God is calling us to deny these things, deny these desires. And what it comes down to is faith triumphing over flesh. Which will triumph in our lives, faith or flesh? What's going to win out? You see, following Christ requires sacrifice. It's hard. But it is the only way to find true life. And if we live like that in this world, then our attention will not focus on... If we live like this world is what matters, we'll focus on the things of this world, money, fame, success. But the Bible says we will lose our souls in the process. And what is more valuable than our souls? You see, we can't straddle the fence on this. We can't seek both God and money, as the Bible says. We can't make what matters both the world and God and try to enjoy both and live on this fence. We will choose one or the other by our lives. Whether you realize it or not, we will choose one or another. You're choosing one or the other right now. We will choose one or the other. And the Bible says, in the end, the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will repay each person according to what he has done. So we're going to be judged according to what we've done. But wait a minute, everybody's crying out. But the Bible says we're saved by faith, not works. And you're right. Very, very true. But what also is true is that our actions reveal our faith or lack thereof. You see, our actions reveal what truly matters to us. So it's a heart check. What matters to us? So as we look at this, living that life of faith is going to look different for each and every one of us. Every one of us has got a different calling, just as we read those heroes in the faith. I mean, Moses and Noah and Ezekiel and all these guys had way different callings in their lives and different things they do. And it will all look different for all of us. Not many of us are going to be called to sell everything and run off and join the mission field. But you might be. Don't put God in a box. Don't say that he won't, because he might. God's called me to do a lot of things that I said no way to a long time ago. Maybe. So it's going to look different for every one of us. Maybe it's stepping out and sharing our faith in a way that we haven't done before with a great, much more boldness. Maybe it's giving up some of our worldly possessions to give to the needy, to give to somebody else in need. I don't know. There's a lot of options out there. What's God calling you to? But I want to hit on one. The starting point is always going to be devotional time. It always is. And I know we're a broken record in that, saying that, but that's where it all begins, because that's discipleship is spending, is discipleship can't exist if you're not spending time with the master, if you're not sitting at his feet and learning from him, hearing his voice, talking to him. And we don't see much of a glimpse of that in the heroes of the faith, because we don't see that part of their life. But we see, I know in Moses, reading about him, every day he was in that tent of meeting, hanging out with God, talking to God, receiving God's direction, God's wisdom, God's grace. We need that. And we'll get into that in this Rhythms of Discipleship series that we're going to do. We'll get into that, but I encourage you guys, make time for that in your in your life. Get help, get accountability for it. Life groups, discipleship groups. There's lots of different relationship avenues to get accountability to succeed in that. Because again, if we truly have faith that God rewards those who seek him, we will make the time for devotions. And I'm talking about a habit. If we miss it once, it's okay. I'm talking about a life habit. What are we doing? So as we get into this Rhythms of Discipleship series that's to come, my prayer in it is that we would look at it that God is what really matters. As we look at all these different things and parts of our life, that we would embrace them in faith that they matter, and that we would be willing to make the sacrifices by God's grace to live that kind of life. So what does all this mean to me? What does all this mean to me? You see, the world is desperately waiting for Christians, us, the church, to show them something real. That we really, really are different. That we are new creatures, new creations, new creatures with different lives, different priorities. Not that we're just people like them who happen to do something different on Sunday mornings. Because sometimes that's how the church looks. And I pray that that's not how we look. That's not how I look. But that people would see something real in us. And it boils down to our faith. What really matters to us. So what does our life show to other people about what really matters to us? What does our faith in action reveal to others? Because God sees our heart. And like we read about in John 17, that he's called us to be in this world, but not of it. He's called us to be a light to others, just like Ezekiel, to be out there, in there, to be a light to others. We're not to hide in ourselves and protect ourselves from the world, but by God's grace, we're to go out there and change the world by showing them what really matters in life. It was cool. Over Christmas break, we had family in town, and I had the chance to share with one of my family members who doesn't know God. I got to share the whole gospel with them, just poof, and they were asking questions, and I was answering, and it was just an awesome experience to be able to do. And yeah, it was nerve-wracking. It was scary. It was kind of like, okay, what's happening? It was awkward. But man, the reward of that, like he's talking about, the spiritual reward of, I obeyed God. God used me. Yes, that is awesome. It's a great experience. Praise God for that. Man, seek after those things. Be a light to others. Because I think about it, this challenges me. All of us have as much of a walk with God as we choose to have by our faith lived out. All of us do. We all choose to have as much of a walk with God. You see, any of us can become like these heroes of the faith that we read about. Any of us can. Again, it's going to look different for each of us, but each of us has that opportunity. It's about our passion and our priorities. It's about, ultimately, our faith. Do we have the faith to believe that following God is all that matters? And are we going to step out and do that? Because if we have that faith, why wouldn't we be willing to do anything or give up anything to ensure that we have the closest walk and discipleship with God than we can possibly have? If that's what matters, man, we just lay everything on the table and say, God, what do you want me to keep? What do you want me to give away? How do you want me to live the walk with you as best I can? If we truly have faith to believe that God is real and that God rewards those who seek him, man, everything's on the table. Just God, help me, use me. Let me be used by you. What can I do? One more scripture here. We're going to jump to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. These are parables that Jesus is using. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went out and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You see, in both parables, people discovered what really mattered to them. And in both, people gave up everything to obtain that thing which mattered most to them. And you read it in there, I mean, it wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't a pain. It wasn't like, oh, shoot, I'm going to have to sell this and this. And, oh, man, I've got to sell this too. It wasn't that. It was, here, take it, take it. Okay, now I can go get this. It was a joy. It was a delight. It was a treasure. If it really matters most to us, man, it is not. There's still sacrifice in there. I'm not denying that. But, man, we do it because of the joy that's set before us, because of the reward that's set before us. We're not lamenting the chore, the drudgery, not, oh, I've got to get up early. I don't want to. But, man, we're thinking, okay, this hurts. I know I don't really want to do it, but I have faith that following God is what matters and that God's going to reward this time. It's an action born out of delight because doing it, we obtain what matters most. I use this Jim Elliot quote, and we've used it before, but I use it on all my emails. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he can never lose. And what he's saying in there, we'll never be able to keep anything in this world that we obtain, any success, any money, any popularity, any skills or abilities, anything in this world that we gain, we will never be able to keep it because it's all going to fade. One day we're going to die. Maybe it's sooner, maybe then it's later again. We don't know. I got that call, and man, it shaped up my priorities. All those things, are we willing to give them up now if God asks us to, if they distract us from following God fully? Because in return, to gain what we can never lose, we can gain that relationship with Christ, that joyful relationship with God, the rewards, and then the reward of heaven that we will never lose, that we will experience for all eternity. This world is short, and it will pass before we even know it. But the reward of following Christ is eternal, and we will be able to enjoy it for all of eternity. That's what matters. You see, it takes faith to seek these rewards, believing in faith that God is all that really matters, and others are going to see that in our life. If we truly live that out, like knowing that God really matters to us. Just let God search your heart, and search your spirit and ask what really matters to you. Do you have the faith to live the life of discipleship that God is calling you to live? Do you have the faith to live that kind of life? Another question, what are you focusing on too much now that's hindering your focus on following God? What is he calling you to that really matters? What really matters? So think about that. Let's percolate on that for just a minute and let God speak to your heart and lead and guide you in that. And again, take the time, repent where you need to and seek God's grace. And do you have faith to change? Father, we just thank you, Father, for your grace to us in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would build up faith in each and every one of us, Lord. To see following you in discipleship is what really matters, Lord. And Father, give us the faith, Lord, to see the reward that you've set before us, Father God, and the beauty and glory of who you are and what you've prepared for us in eternity, Lord. Lord, so that in joy we can sell whatever you call us to sell, Lord. Give up whatever you've called us to give up. That we would pursue you, Lord God, with our whole heart. And seek you with our whole heart, Lord God, because you are infinitely worthy of it, Lord. And you are truly what matters, Lord. Build us up in that faith and give us that grace, Lord, to live that out this week and in our whole life to come, Lord, that you would be glorified in us. We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.